Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Tet Vav. And we are holding at the Halakha Mishnah. We'll review it. We did it yesterday. Let's review it again. The Halakha Mishnah on Yud Daled Omud Beit, which is a very anomalous Mishnah, and has got to be sneakily telling us something. So let's try to figure out what that could be. Because on the surface, the Mishnah seems to be a complete contradiction to what we said before. Here it says, Kanim Shani Yashin, Shani Medaber, Shani Mahalev, or How Merli Isha Kanim Shani Meshamshech, Areze Belo Yachel Devora. Seems to be saying that even though we're talking about a phenomena rather than an object, or an act rather than an object, we're talking about not walking, not eating, not speaking, and that nonetheless you could say Konam, which doesn't make any sense because that was basically the whole transitional mission that we had at the end of the last parak, was to tell us that you cannot do that. You would have to say Konam Einai or Konam Ragli and so on and so forth. So something's fishy about this Mishnah. Now the Gemara, I don't know why nobody explains this, but here's the pshat. The Gemara assumes that the Mishnah is doing something very sneaky. And what it's doing is creating a situation in which you can actually assert sleeping on yourself. How is that possible? By making it a condition to something that will lead you to Bal Yachel. That's the point. So in other words, if you say that if I sleep, that then something will happen which triggers a Bal Yachel, you say, if I sleep, so then I will be over on eating this piece of bread tomorrow, if I eat the piece of bread. So then, in effect, you might be ushering yourself from sleeping because of the fact that it could lead you to be over on an Isser tomorrow. That is a fantastic chop, because you're using a netter effectively to usher you from doing something, and so it functions as a shvua. Now, it's because of that that the Gemara begins now something which on the surface appears to be a crazy non sequitur, and is precisely the point. So here, let's take a look at this and see how beautifully it fits. Itmar, konam einai b'sheina hayom im ishan l'machar. So now here is precisely what we were suspecting. Somebody says that if I sleep tomorrow, so then I'm going to be over on a neder if I sleep today. So what's the din? You better not sleep today. Even though today there's nothing wrong with your sleeping, all you said was that if you sleep tomorrow, that then you're going to be over on a sleeping today. You can't sleep today because we're nervous that maybe you'll go to sleep tomorrow. And if you do that, then you will have retroactively created a netter. And that would mean that you were over on the netter today, even though you didn't know about that right now. But that's basically what will end up happening. Whereas Reb Nachman says, what's the problem? I don't understand. Either you're going to sleep today or you're going to sleep tomorrow. I mean, if we're nervous that you're going to be over on something, so don't be over on it. I mean, why would we say that it's more important not to sleep today because maybe you'll sleep tomorrow? Just don't sleep tomorrow. Doesn't that make more sense? So Reb Nachman says, you can sleep today because we're not nervous that maybe you'll sleep tomorrow. Now, Reb Yehuda is made that, yes, of course, that would be true in a case where he said that konam inai b'sheina l'machar imishan hayom. If I sleep today, then I'm not allowed to sleep tomorrow, right? There I agree. You can definitely sleep today. Why? Because the only reason that I'm nervous that tomorrow you're going to sleep is because if the neder wasn't tomorrow, the neder was today. I am usher to sleep today with the neder. In other words, konam einai, classical way, correct way. Im ishan machar. So now if I sleep today, and now it's tomorrow, so I say to myself, well, there's no isser in my sleeping today, is there? Well, Technically speaking, there isn't. But if you do sleep today, then you made your sleeping yesterday an Issa D'oraisa, because this is a T'nai. Nonetheless, says Rabbi Yehuda, I'm nervous that a guy doesn't take a T'nai as seriously as he takes the actual Neder. So if he already did his sleeping, and now he's just going to retroactively create a Neder, so then I'm very nervous that he's not going to be careful about his retroactive Neder. It's already done. And he figures there's no inherent Isser in my actually sleeping today. So he'll end up sleeping today and getting himself into big trouble for retroactively being over on the Neder. That's what I'm worried about. But the other way around, where today is the T'nai, if I sleep today, then I have a Neder not to sleep tomorrow. That doesn't bother me. Well, if he sleeps today, so then he won't sleep tomorrow, because that's a Neder. We always say that a person is relied on to keep a Neder. So therefore, there's a big difference between the T'nai. Kilo Mizdaher, that's only in the T'nai. But in the Etzem Isser of the Neder, of course he is Mizdaher. And therefore, he could sleep today. And I agree with Reb Nachman. Now, here comes the beautiful little surprise from our Mishnah. Because the Gemara says, okay, how do you think that our Mishnah makes sense, right? Because what the Mishnah is saying is that somehow or other, you could effectively create a situation where you're not allowed to sleep because of a Neder. But I thought, I cannot make a Neder like that. I thought I only have to make a Neder on some object. Ah, here's the cop. You could make it a condition for a Neder so that if you slept, you would be over on Bayachel Devaro. Brilliant, right? So maybe that's what we're talking about over here. So now that we understand that we have actually a machlokas about this very issue, can the fact that you made something a condition for a neder, can that condition act as the neder, so to speak, as Reb Yehuda says, and say to you, you mustn't sleep today because we're nervous about what will happen tomorrow? So then effectively you're telling him, well, in order to avoid the possibility of being overrun by Yachel Devaro, you can't sleep today. But I don't understand. I can't make a neder not to sleep. Well, that's essentially what you did. So then that would be the beautiful Kiddush of the Mishnah, right? What a chop. That would be the only way where a neder, it says, notice what it says. It doesn't say usher. It says hareze bebal yachel. Oh, that's exactly the point. So it is possible for you to usher yourself to be over ultimately by Yachel Devaro in this curious roundabout way in which you can come to be over on by Yachel by making a proper Neder that is dependent on a stipulation which would not be a proper Neder in itself. If I sleep, so then effectively you're not allowed to sleep. Come on, guys. Is that not beautiful? Is that not brilliant? What a perfect way to understand the Gemara, right? So therefore, says the Gemara, that would be the only way to get the Mishnah. Because look at this Mishnah. Shani Yoshen, Shani Malech, Shani Medaber, and so on and so forth. Now, can you tell me what we're talking about? I mean, the Mishnah can't mean what it says because we know that that is not a proper Neder. A Neder that I won't sleep, that's not called a Neder. We had before the whole Braisa that explained Chomer Bishvuas, Minadarim, and so on and so forth. Chomer Bishvuas. Now, sleep is certainly not an object, and therefore, how could a neder prevent you from sleeping? Well, I'll tell you what happened was, you made it a stipulation. That's the point. So you made the bayakha, you made properly. You said, konam einai b'sheinah. Yes. Now, so let's say you said, you're saying it's got to be there's a real neder somewhere. Yeah, you're right. There's got to be a real neder somewhere. Okay. So let's start off with the assumption. Of course, there's a real neder somewhere hidden in the Mishnah. Okay. So what happened? The guy just said, I'm never going to sleep. I mean, that's not a neder because if a person didn't say for how long he's not going to sleep and he means, well, what? I'm never, ever going to sleep. Then that's not a neder at all. Now, listen, this is the way the Ron learns it. I'm going to talk to you about it afterwards, about the Machlokas Rishonim, which actually impacts two very important questions today. But let's wait until we see how the two questions interrelate before we even raise the issue. So the way that the Ron understands the question over here is that we do not allow a person to have such a netter, because there is no such netter. Now, listen, it doesn't mean, according to the Ron, do we let him be over on the netter? Because he won't be over on the netter. What we're doing is we're using the language that is our proof from Shavua, and we're applying it to netter. And here's why. If somebody makes a Shavua that is absurd, it's not that it's not a Shavua, it's that it's a Shavua Shav. So in other words, he says, I will never ever sleep again. I swear. Well, what's the din? Do we wait till he falls asleep and then punish him for Shavua Sheker? No. It's a Shavua Shav, because you can't do that. And therefore, we will punish you right now for being over on Lo Sisa Shem HaShem Elokecha L'Shav. You made a Shavua Shav. Okay, so that's it. You made it right now. There's no point in waiting. It has nothing to do. There is no Shavua that you'll never sleep. There's only a Shavua Shav that you'll never sleep. In the same case here, where we're talking about Nedarim, where there is no concept of a neder shav, doesn't say look, there's no din of lo sisa shema shema lo kecha by the neder. So there's no such thing as a shvua shav, a neder shav. So, but the concept is the same. If you're making a neder about something that is not doable, it's not a neder. It's not that we wait until you see that you can't do it. You know, no such thing. So there is no such neder. So it can. That's how we understand the Gemara, even though the language is not really fit that, okay? So, Mishav Kinenle Adovar Yisra Bal Yachel. The Gemara is pretending that you would actually be over the Yisra Bal Yachel if you did sleep, which is not true. But after all, Reb Yochanan said by Shvua, if you said, I'm not going to make a Shvua, I'm not going to sleep for 3 days or more. So then we give him Malkus right now for the Yisra Shvua Shav, and he can go to sleep right now. He doesn't have to wait the 3 days, you know? So over here too, it's not a kosher netter, because you can't be mekayim it. And a netter that you cannot be mekayim is not considered to be a netter at all. And therefore, the Isser Bal Yachel Devoro can't be chal on a netter that was never chal. This is not a dover at all. And so therefore, over here, it's simply not a netter. This is the way that the Ron learns, the Ritva learns, fine. And there's no such thing as making a netter shav. Fine. So now we're back to our problem. So what is the Mishnah talking about? I'll tell you how it all works out. The Mishnah's talking about where the guy made it a condition. He said, I'm making a real netter that you cannot, I cannot allow my eyes, to sleep if I sleep today. Oh. So is that the point? That doesn't help us very much, does it? Because, I mean, after all, even Rabbi Shimon is made, I mean, even Rabbi Yehuda Amarav is made, in this case, to Rabbi Nachman, that if he sleeps today, that's not a problem, because you just said, Amar Kol B'Yisurim is dire. You said, people are careful about the Isser. So if the Isser is triggered by sleeping today, so then there would be no problem of sleeping today. So that doesn't help us very much, because the Mishnah is not going to be saying something that is, everybody is made in. I mean, what's the point? It can't mean that if you sleep both days, you're going to be over. I mean, obviously that's true. And it also, I mean, what would it mean? So the only thing that it would mean is that he can't sleep today, because maybe he'll sleep tomorrow, which is why it says that if he does, he'll be over on Bal Yachel. But that's also obvious, because even Rav Yehuda agreed to that. Okay, so that's not the case. So then what is the Chiddush of the Mishnah? Our idea is right, namely that he's using a stipulation to create the equivalent of a netter. That, I think, is brilliant. But it can't be this direction. It's got to be the other direction. So in other words, the Mishnah's got to be referring to a case where the guy said that if I end up sleeping tomorrow, then I'll be over on a neder if I sleep today. So over there, the Mishnah is telling us that he is not over here going to, if he made today, if he sleeps now, if he doesn't sleep now, so then there's no way that he could come to Bal Yachel, is there? I mean, if he doesn't sleep, then tomorrow was just a stipulation. It's not nogea. So how could there ever be a Bal Yachel? And yet the Mishnah is saying, yes, you see, you can come to Bal Yachel. How could you come to Bal Yachel? Because what you did was, is you slept today. And then what happens is that tomorrow becomes an iser to sleep. Because if you do sleep, you'll be over on Bal Yachal. So basically, I mean, by the way, this does show you that Rav Yehuda is wrong, doesn't it? I mean, because Lamaisa, what Rav Yehuda was saying, he says, you're not allowed to sleep today. But the whole focus of the Mishnah is not on that. Adarabba, it's saying that you could come to Bal Yachal because you did sleep today. And therefore, tomorrow, if you sleep, you're going to be over on Bal Yachal on a statement of, I won't sleep. Ha ha. Without saying, my eyes are usher. Amazing. Well, I mean, forget about that. Yes, it is beautiful. I agree. But I mean, you're using it also to say that the Chiddush is that it's against Rav Yehuda. I mean, that's not necessarily, because the Mishnah could be talking about that you'll be over on Bal Yachal if you slept today. But not say, it's not saying anywhere that you can, is it? So, I mean, you don't have a right to also use this as something against Rav Yehuda. Maybe just the opposite. That if, maybe that's what the Mishnah is saying, you better be careful to be a good boy and not to sleep, because if you do and you sleep tomorrow, you could come to be over on Bal Yachal Devaro. Maybe that's what it's saying. So on the contrary, then the Mishnah would be backing up Rav Yehuda. That issue is just, that's a bunch of fog, you'll excuse me. The question of whether it's like Rav Yehuda or not like Rav Yehuda, it's just as likely that on the contrary, the Mishnah is like Rav Yehuda. But the insight into the formulation of the Mishnah is absolutely brilliant in any direction. Because what we're saying is that you can actually asa yourself in sleeping and be over on Bal Yachal, but it's not the Bal Yachal for what it said you'd be over on sleeping. It's just the fact that you made that the tonight. That's all. Nobody is impressed. It's lovely. Okay. Fine. Now, there is a very simple alternative to this whole discussion. Ravina says, you know, there's certain mental problems in which people sit all day and they shake. I think it's on the spectrum somewhere. Some people like shake back and forth. Other kids just move their cup up and down. And Zoom has faithfully put everybody together. It's just beyond belief. Okay. The real thing. Ravina says, what do we make such a big tumult about this Mishnah? The Mishnah could be discussing. I mean, this is brilliant, but I think it's a little bit over brilliant, maybe. Maybe it's a little precocious. Maybe we should just take the Mishnah at its word. And maybe the point is like this, that it means exactly what it says. And when it says that you're over on Bal Yachal, it doesn't really mean you're over on Bal Yachal. It means, just like we saw before, that there is a concept of the extension of these kind of things by the rabbanits of people for Amei Haaretz, and that just people should take it seriously, right? So, okay, so maybe that's what it means over here, that the rabbanits said that even if you make a neder on something, the less be mamish, that doesn't have any substance, the rabbanit said that midrabbanan you're going to be over on Bal Yachal. It's like it fits the pattern of the previous Mishnahs. Maybe that's what it means. It's not coming to discuss this question of making conditions. What is there such a thing that the rabbanan created at Bal Yachal? Is it Bal Yachal midrabbanan? Oh yes, indeed. I'll show you. There is definitely there is. I mean, I can't prove that this is an example of one, but I could certainly say that I could show you there is a Bal Yachal Rabbanan in certain circumstances, and therefore it's not unlikely that the correct interpretation of the Mishnah is that this is telling me that there's a Rabbanan Neder, that it's a Bal Yachal. Where do I see that there's such a thing? The Tanya. Dvarim amutarim v'achayrim na'agu behem isur. Let's say somebody, he is very careful about a certain chumrah, right? That they may be mutter, but they're used to looking at it as a tremendous chumrah, They're used to looking at it as mamish the din. Right? So let's say they don't eat meat for 3 weeks. The only issue of eating meat is the Shavua, Shechal, Tisha B'Av. But everybody has come to believe that that's mamish usur, and it's a minhag, and you're not allowed to tell a person to leave his minhag, you're not allowed to be mezalzel in a minhag. So stuff like that, the din is that you are not allowed to act in front of them in such a way that shows them that, come on, man, stop being silly. That's it. You're not allowed to do that. You can go around buying a hot dog when everybody else is keeping the 3 weeks. Shenemar lo yachel devaro. Whoa. Lo yachel devaro. So as we're saying, the concept of devaro as opposed to a neder is where somebody is like committed to something in a deep way. He never made a neder, but he's committed to it. So that's his dover. That's his thing, like we say in English, right? That's his thing. Exactly. So otherwise it could have said, lo yachel nidro. It says, lo yachel devaro. Do not make somebody's thing look stupid to him. Wow, fascinating idea, right? Okay, so if this is his thing, so that you see that the Rabbanan extended the concept of a lo yachel devaro to be min Rabbanan. So maybe over here, the lo yachel devaro is the same thing. The Rabbanan said, look, this is his thing. He made it that he thinks it's like a neder. Don't be mezalzel in it b'fana. It's not. Okay, so this kind of thing, by the way, is really brought l'halacha l'gabe issues where somebody does something. It does on Hagah Shal Mitzvah. That's that whole idea of doing on Hagah Shal Mitzvah and not saying B'li Neder and all of that, that we're Moser Maida at the beginning of the year, is to avoid making it your thing. That's the whole point. So that even though your thing is a Darabonin, but it's a Chumrah of a Lo Yachel Darabonin. So because of that, we become more makbid on it due to this Gemara, this Braitza that we just brought. Okay, all right, fine. So we have two possible interpretations of our Mishnah. Now, basically getting back to the Machlokas, Reb Yehuda and Reb Nachman, later on, we're going to have a Mishnah that seems to have certain implications of Gabi Reb Yehuda, because Tanan, here's a case that sounds very much like I won't sleep to Konoma Inai Hayom if I sleep tomorrow. So over here, a guy says to his wife that anything that you get from me that is Hana up until Pesach is a Kainam. If you end up going to your parents' home from now until next Sukkot. Okay, so now that means that he's basically said, if you sleep tomorrow, so then you're not allowed to sleep today. That's what he said. If you end up going home tomorrow at some point, then you're not allowed to have any Hana from me today or up until Pesach. That's exactly Reb Yehuda's thing, right? So it says over there in the Mishnah, if she ends up going to home before Pesach, so then from that point on, she's definitely usher Bahana up until Pesach, because she triggered the Isser. So what does that mean? It means that, I mean, read the words. Holcha lifnei Pesach, she's asura, but lo holcha, lo. Isn't that Mishnah saying? If she hadn't actually gone and triggered the neder, we're not going to tell her, hey, little girl, don't have any ana because you might end up going home before Sukkot. I understand. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's the whole point. We tell her you are not allowed to have any ana from him because you might end up going home. And over here it says the only time that she's usher is if she actually went. So you see, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Seems to be saying very clearly, no. Says the Gemara, Amar Ababa, no, of course not. It's just trying to tell you, if Lamaisa she did go before Pesach, then she is going to be Asura and she's going to get Malkus if she goes ahead and she gets Veloka. But if Loalcha, and you're just Chayshitz, maybe Ravina's right. Don't be Nene. But I mean, it's not that it's Mamish Asur, it's that we're afraid that it will become retroactively Asur. But we can't give you Malkus on that basis because there was nothing that catalyzed the Chalos of the Neder yet, right? That's the point. Now, the question over here is, who gets Malkus? She gets Malkus because she was over on his konam, or he gets Malkus if he gives her something because he said that there's a konam? So is the other person the one that's going to get the malchus? When you say something, I'm going to be over on your netter of lo yachel devaro? I didn't say a word. How could I be lo yachel devaro? You're the one who said that I shouldn't be nene. So then that would mean if you give me hana'a, so then you're the one that's going to be over. How the heck did I get to be over on the netter? This doesn't make any sense to me. Now, what's interesting is that actually that's what the Rambam paskins. The Rambam says, how can she be the one who gets the malchus? She didn't say anything. And when the Torah says, lo yachel dvaro, well, there wasn't any dvaro. So how can you punish someone for being mechal dvaro if it's somebody else's dvaro? It would only mean that the Baal is chayiv. So the konam makes it usher for her to be nene, but the malchus could only be on the person who actually said the dover. Wow. So in other words, when it says, it said asura, the loker, not loka, the loker, she would be the one that does not get malchus, but she's asura. But if he in any way facilitates her getting the na'ash, then he would be over on bayachel dvoro. Now that is not true according to most of the Rishonim. The Ran goes through many rayas over here to show that that's not true, and that the correct girsa is asura v'loka, that you are going to be mechayev her on the lo yachel devaro of the other person. That's one of the points that I mentioned to you. I said there's two very important machlokas Rishonim in this sugya. That is one of them. Who gets malchus on ba yachel devaro? And we'll talk about that and see how it relates to the other strange issues that's coming out over here. So lo halcha, so then it would be an Isser, but it's not Malchus. That's what it means. It doesn't mean against Rabbi Yehuda. Well, now, wait a minute. That Mishnah continues. Read the next thing. If she goes after Pesach and she ends up visiting her father, so then she's going to be over to Baal Yachel Devaro. I don't understand. If, according to Rabbi Yehuda, she wasn't allowed to go before this because of the chashash that maybe she will go, so then, I mean, this is a new clause in the Mishnah, so why would it say Baal Yachel Dvaro if we answered her? We said you can't go. So what do you mean? If she goes afterwards, it's a given that there's a Baal Yachel Dvaro? How is there a given? Elapshita, that it is a given. That's what you're saying. That obviously, up until this point, we allowed her to be nene from him. In which case, if she does go up till Sukkot, so then she's going to be over on Baal Yachel for the hana that she had, Alma Mitani. So you see that the halacha is that you do get hana. Do you have to the Rabbi Yehuda again? No. This is not like a new clause. We're basically saying that in the event, Ki Katani, if she had hana'a before Pesach, then it's Baal Yachel. That's the point. So then, I mean, well, obviously, I mean, why do I need a Mishnah to tell me that? No, so what the Mishnah would therefore be telling me is the Chiddush, that since she's going to be over on Baal Yachel Devaro, she shouldn't be nene before. That's the whole point. So in other words, that the Mishnah would be saying the opposite. The Mishnah would be telling us, yes, like Rabbi Yehuda, the same way that we inverted the understanding of the Mishnah here. It's the same idea. So there's two completely different ways of understanding that Mishnah, right? So according to Rav Yehuda, the whole point in the Mishnah is the Mishnah is saying, oh man, if she ends up going, she's going to be over on Baal Yachel Devaro retroactively, and therefore she better not do it now. That's the point in the Mishnah. Whereas according to Rav Nachman, it's the opposite point. She only has to worry about Baal Yachel afterwards because she certainly was allowed to go during that time. Okay, excellent. Anyway, another question. Tanan. So we have that same Mishnah. Where did we get up to? Did I miss the place? So it's not. Sha'at ne'net li ad ha'chag im techila beit avichad ha'pesach. So now what about the next point, which is the opposite? You say before Pesach that anything that you're nene from me till Sukkot, will be usher if you go to your parents' home anytime up till Pesach. So that's the opposite, right? So over here, the issue of the neder continues on after the time in which we see if the neder was catalyzed. The only thing is that over here, the neder, if it is catalyzed, it would be usher even during the period of the Tanai, right? So now what's the din over there? Says the Mishnah, if she went to her family home lifnei ha-Pesach, so then she's asura bahana'a up until Sukkos. So that's the entire period. But how about if she went, she would still be mutera to go after Pesach. So in other words, even though she went and she was over on the Tanai, and now there's a neder, and now she's not allowed to be nena from her husband, she's still allowed to go to her husband's, to her family's home, because the period of the Tanai is over. I mean, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Why would I think it's us? Okay, so the Ron explains, I would think it's usher maybe because in order for her to remember that she's usher ba'ana'a, so we make the issue still active. If she just ends up living normally and going home, she may forget that now because of that, when it was usher, she ended up triggering a neder, right? No, kamash malan, we don't do that. Okay, that's pretty obvious that she's muteret lelech achar Pesach. Now, what's the implication of the Mishnah? It's saying, halcha, if she actually did go to her father's home, so then she's asura from then on. But if she didn't go, there was no isser. But the problem is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there should be an isser. Because if in the end she does go before Pesach, then all of the time that she was being nena from him turns out to be retroactively usser, because he said from this minute on it's going to be usser. So we see from here that we're not worried about it and that she can be nena, and we believe that she'll be careful not to catalyze the neder, which is against Rav Yehuda. Omar Rava, not true. Of course, hu adin afilu lo halcha asura, according to Rav Yehuda, but just like we said before, if she does go, then we're talking about getting malchus if she gets hana, or him getting malchus. Again, that's the machlokas. Lo halcha, it's just an iser bi'alma. Okay, fair enough. Meitvei, how about a braita? Kikar zo alaya yom imelech lemakom ploni lemachar. I'm not allowed to eat this bread today if I end up going to the movies tomorrow. So now the din is, if he eats the bread on that day, so then he can't go, because then if he would go, he would be over on the neder. So hareze bebal yelech. So note that the man here has effectively created an isser on himself from going to the movies by using a neder. But you can't isser yourself from going to the movies by using a neder. Aha. So this is another example of the brilliant idea that the Gemara had about the Mishnah. It's coming to tell you how a Tanai effectively does the same thing. Then here it actually uses the word bebal yelech, as if there's a special isser in the Torah, don't go to movies. So bal yelech, instead of saying the bayaka. Because effectively, it turns out, don't go. Beautiful. No, says the Gemara, it doesn't mean, I mean, what you're claiming is that what? That means you can eat today and we're not worried? It doesn't say he can eat it. Mikatani ochel. It says if he ate it. That's all that it says. Achal, dechi achal, hareze v'bal yelech. If he eats it on that day, then he's usher to do it on the next day. But it's not telling us he's usher to eat it up front necessarily. Yeah, I don't see that. Okay, well, how about the seifa? Seifa is against Rabbi Yehuda, because the Braisa says if he did go, halak, if he did go the next day, so then hareze v'bal yachel devoro. At that point, then, retroactively, was over on Bal Yachal. So, it doesn't say he can go the next day. It says that he cannot go, because he was going to come. So, then that means that he must have eaten the bread the day before. Why are we taking for granted that he would be over on Bal Yachal? According to Rabbi Yehuda, he would never have eaten the bread. Kashal Rav Yehuda. Amalach Rav Yehuda. No, you're right. Of course, it should have said that he can. Who adin de lisnei mehalech? It could have said he can go the next day, because according to me, he obviously didn't do the Isser on the day before, because that would have caused him perhaps to be over. So why didn't it say that language, which would have been more likely to me? Because since in the Reisha of the Braita it says, if he ate a chal, because what he's supposed to say over there, he couldn't say he can eat, because as I explained, he cannot eat. So because it says over there, if he ate, so it says same thing over here in the Sefer, if he went, that's the point. But it could have said that he could go, because the day before he wasn't over on it. Okay, the next thing that we had was disturbing for another reason. Let's assume that there would be a way to asser your wife in Tashmish Hamita. That was the last case. Says to his wife that there's a konam. How could you do that? It says over there, but I thought that a person owes his wife intimacy. So how could you asser something that isn't yours to asser? Same way you can't asser somebody else's piece of bread on them. You can't asser anything that isn't yours on someone else. So mishtabid lo midiyoraita. Dichtiv she'ira kisuta va'onata lo yigra. So how can a netter take away his chiyav to be mishamish his wife? This case, you're right. It's not talking about where he focuses on a body part and he says you can't use that. He's asering the hana'ah on himself. That's what he's saying. The Omer Hana Atash Mishech Alai. I cannot enjoy intimacy with you. So then he's saying, he is basically giving up his right to be Nena from her. So I can't answer her in being Nena from me. That's true, because I owe that to her. But I can actually answer myself in the same way I can answer myself from enjoying a sukkah. So I can ask myself, I'm enjoying intimacy. The Omer of Kahana, Tashmishi Alecha. If a woman tells her husband, you are not allowed to have pleasure from intimacy with me. She owes him that. That's part of what is the marriage, and that's part of what the ksuva guarantees and so on, and she's not allowed to be a moredet, and all of that is part of the way that we enforce it through the finances of the tshuva, of the ksuva. But if she would say that I am not allowed to have pleasure from our intimacy, then it's usher. Why? Same thing that we said about the sukkah. We don't give someone to eat something that is usher on them. And if that's the case, so then effectively it turns out to be usher. Now, the truth is that we've got other problems over here, because what the guy had done over here is he ushered something that doesn't have mamashut. There's two issues. Issue number one is that the whole din of such a neder is only the Rabbanan. Like we said, if the Rabbanan said, if you ushered something intangible, then it's still going to be ushered mid Rabbanan with a bal yachol devaro mid Rabbanan, right? Now, how in the world can a neder mid Rabbanan be doicha the chiyav of Aina and be doicha the chiyav of Piri of Arivia? I mean, how would we be ma'amid and say, well, we can't give somebody something that's ushered? Understand. How can a neder derabbanan stop him from being over on an Isser d'oraisa? That doesn't make any sense. Okay, so the Ron says, look, what can you say? The rabbanan are able to asser a kiyam of a mitzvah b'sheval taseh. So that's what they're saying. They're saying it's a sheval taseh. But the other problem is that normally we say that konamot and hegdesh, same idea, cancel any she'ibudim. And over here we're saying that it shouldn't be chal because he is mishu'ubad, right? the din is that he's not Meshubad, because we cancel Shibudim due to somebody being Magdish somebody, something, or Konam. So Konamos should mean that the Gemara's Kasha makes no sense. So, I mean, what the Ran suggests is maybe the same way that we find that the Rabbanan were mechazek, the shibudim of a husband, in various cases that we spoke about before, which is magdish, the hegdish is not doicha the shibud of the husband. So the same thing is true over here, that the Rabbanan were mechazek, these shibudim between a husband and a wife. So maybe even though normally konam would be doicha the shibud, that's why the Gemara takes for granted it won't be doicha the shibud. Now there's one additional problem, which is fascinating. The case of not enjoying intimacy or not sitting in a sukkah, don't we have a rule that mitzvot lav lehenot nitnu? And therefore, if I'm being osik in a mitzvah, I'm sitting in the sukkah, so I'm not being nena, right? Or if I'm enjoying intimacy, that's a mitzvah, so a mitzvah lav lehenot nitnu. So just to clarify, I mean, the answer is obvious, but just to clarify it, it's kedai to speak it out, and the Ran felt it was kedai to speak it out, that obviously, what we mean is that the mitzvah is not considered to be a hana'ah. But any hana'ah that's not the mitzvah, but is associated with the mitzvah, I go into the sukkah, and the sukkah protects me from the wind, so I'm warm. That's not the mitzvah. But it's going to be something that you're being nena from. You can't say, well, since it was a mitzvah, I wasn't nena. That's crazy. The person is enjoying the intimacy, but you're going to say, well, it's a mitzvah, so I'm not enjoying. Of course you're enjoying. So obviously, that's not the issue of mitzvot lav lehenot nitnu. That's a completely different question. Now, the machlokas, I said to you that we would just review two machlokas. So one machlokas that we spoke about is the machlokas about who gets malchus. And as I mentioned to you, according to the Rambam, the person who was the maker of the Isser is the one that gets the Malkus, not the person who was Assered. How can you be over on Lo Yachel Devoro on somebody else's Dibur? That was the first Machlokas we talked about, and that was a Machlokas that we had between the Rambam and the Rajba on the other end of the Ran, and many others get involved. But let's call it the Shita of the Rambam against the Shita of the Ran and the Rajba, where the most famous antis that talk about the daf. But there's another machlokas, which also seems to be nogia. And that is, we spoke about the case of a shvua that I won't sleep for 3 days, that we give him malchus. Now, the Ran explained that we are only using that as an example for the case of the guy who made a neder that he won't sleep, that his eyes won't close for 3 days, right? And there's no such thing as an iser of neder shav. So what we're doing is we're making a loose comparison to the conceptual issue. This is the way that the Ran and the Rajba explain it, right? The problem is that, as Reb Kivager points out, Tosfos in Gittin says that it's not true, and that you would be lokin on making a neder that you cannot be mekayim in the same exact way that you would be loken over there. You would be loken by the shvua for shvua shav, lotisa, and over here you would be loken for ba yachel, because you made a neder that cannot be kept, and that it's a perfect comparison. It's not like just a loose conceptual comparison. So it's possible that these two issues are interrelated, because remember that, not coincidentally, the Ran and the Rajba both hold that it's the mudder, the one who is the object of the neder, gets malchus for being over on it. Whereas the Rambam holds it's only the one who makes the neder who could get malchus for causing you to be over, giving his wife hana'ah where he asked her about hana'ah. So what it might be talking about over here is an interrelated machlokas. In other words, the issue of Baal Yachel, according to the Ran and according to the Rajba, means that you have to be mekayim what it was that the neder created. So that is, we look at that as if it's real. And therefore, the person who is over on that is the one who's being over on Baal Yachel. In the same way that we said that the Baal Yachel de Rabbanan is not to belittle the other person's word. So then that's the Rabbanan extension. It's his thing. But if it's really his neder and he creates an iser, then the Baal Yachel is not the devaro, his word. It's what it was that his word created, which was the iser of the neder. And therefore, only the one who does that, the one who has the hana, it's like any other iser hana. The neder creates the iser hana'a. Then that's an objective iser hana'a that was created by someone's word, and that's the concept of a neder. And the noder was a bad person because he caused other people to be over and be chayav malchus. But why is he chayav malchus? He didn't do anything wrong. He created the iser, that's all. Masha Einkein, the Rambam, understands that Baal Yachel Devoro means exactly what it says. If you say something, then you have to keep what it is that you said, not that what it is that you said creates this reality, which anybody who's on going to be over on is going to be over. It's not Baal Yachel what Devoro did. It's Baal Yachel Devoro. So even though the case would be, therefore, I'm not being nene, but by giving you hana'a where I said that hana'a is asr, I'm being mechalel my dibor. This is a tremendously important nekuda in understanding the entire nature of nedarim, you see. So if according to Rambam, the problem of nedarim is the hakpada on your speech, then that's totally different from the Hakpada Nedarim being a way in which Zeh HaDavar, note that Zeh HaDavar in its relationship to Baal Yachel Devoro, entirely different from the idea that you can create situations that are considered to be similar to Isser, the way that the Hegdish is Asser, and then the world is responsible for responding to what it is that you created. An amazingly important difference. We're going to see more about this issue when it comes to the question of Yesh Mi'ila Bekonamot. Tremendously different. Okay. So then I think we better keep this question open because there's going to be an awful lot of other issues that are associated with it. We'll talk about them, Bezrat Hashem, as we get there. Anyway.
Can Rabbi please explain again these two approaches?
With the drink.
Sorry.
When someone makes a neder, I understand that the Torah could be saying, you have to take the words that you say very seriously. And if you go against your word, then you're going to be punished for it. You are responsible for your words. That's Baal Yachel Devoro. You did something against your word. The other way of understanding is that a person has an ability to utilize the issues that are created by words, such as a carbon. When you make something a carbon, anybody who uses that carbon in a way that's usher is going to be over. So would you say over there, what do you mean? How could I be over? I didn't make it a carbon. You made it a carbon. Who cares who made it a carbon? Once it was made a carbon, it's a carbon. So would you ever say, just because he says it's a carbon, I don't have to treat it as a carbon? That's ridiculous. So if we understand nedarim to be, in fact, konamais, so then if I say that this thing, this piece of bread is usher as if it's a carbon, it's not my word that's the problem. It's the fact that now the bread is usher that's the problem. And therefore, if I don't eat the bread and I give it to somebody else to eat, so they're the ones that are going to be, I'm going to be over on Lifneiver maybe if I give them to eat, but I'm certainly not going to be over on Lo Yachel Devaro because I didn't do anything. Masha Inkein, if the issue is, I'll get to you in a second. If the issue is that when you say a word, then you have to keep that word. It's nothing to do with anybody else. It only has to do with you. So if you give somebody else that thing to eat, so then you're the person who is being mechala what you said. You said this thing is not allowed to be eaten by people. So why are you giving it to them? You don't take what you say seriously? That's the Isser Baal Yachel Devaro. But the person who eats it, I don't know, what did I do wrong? I didn't say a word. I don't understand. I don't have to keep what he said. totally opposite approaches. Now, yeah, and you see how this is Nogea, a number of issues that we've spoken about. We spoke yesterday about idiosyncratic nedarim, and that was Esor Isar, where the person accepts the neder like the day of his father's death. That's idiosyncratic. Nobody else keeps that day as a ta'anit. Only he does, as opposed to korban, which is universal. And we have those two separate dinim. Are they the same in terms of Baal Yachad Devaro? Oh, that's a big question then, right? So that would lead us to one issue. And then we have the other major machlokas, which were so central to understanding the entire concept of neder at the beginning. Are nedarim a way of making something usser, or can you only be matvis something in the nature of a korban? Which, of course, affects the idea that we spoke about yesterday between the Rosh and the Ram, how to understand the Mishnah that says chulin, masha ochalak. Then that means there's only one fundamental choice in a neder. Is it kodesh or is it chol? That's all. I don't need to know any other details. There's a brilliant way of understanding the Mishnah according to the Rosh. All of these issues you can see immediately are interrelated in very subtle ways, and which we have to keep in mind throughout the rest of the Masechet and see how the consistency of the Shitas works out, or maybe we're oversimplifying. Yes, Sir Richard.
I mean, this Indian is just, what happens if, let's say I make an header that, you know, you can't eat this thing because it's a korban. But I don't know that.
What do you Those are all issues that we shall be speaking about. Obviously, you're not going to get malchus if nobody gives you hatra'ah and so on. And we know that there's a concept of being over b'shogeg on neder that the Rambam discusses at length, which, of course, in your preparation for Maseches Nedarim, which I'm assuming you're doing the Rambam and Hilchos Shavuos and Hilchos Nedarim, undoubtedly, which we'll be getting to, hopefully. I don't know, Moshe has focused us on a chazora, but, you know, it's also other things to do. All to be addressed. Yeah, I don't know. It's like
it seems
a dirty bomb, isn't it? It's a dirty bomb. It's going to affect everybody, and they don't even know.
It seems if everybody has the power to affect somebody else by his neder, it doesn't wash, Rabbi. It doesn't wash.
It's only if it's your thing. You can't affect somebody else with anything that isn't yours. It has to be yours. In other words, in the same way that you can affect anybody else, you say, anybody who takes my cigarette is going to be prosecuted. That makes sense. Right? All right. So that you can do. You can't say anybody who takes somebody else's cigarette is going to be prosecuted. So that's clear. We have two completely different issues. Either you're the one that is empowered, or you're right. It makes absolutely no difference. Without being empowered, you can't just go around creating Yisurim for anybody. Although, in a sense, when it comes to the question of making a korban, you could. You can take your cow, and everybody's been used to borrowing your cow. And, you know, you could say, my cow is a korban, and then all the neighbors are going to come and take the cow, thinking, oh, he never was mocked, but if I take the cow, he's going to be over on Me'ilah. So, I mean, that question is still true, but, you know, that's always true. You could put poison in your, I hate to even say it, in your talisker. Oh, my God, what would happen? So then anybody who was drinking the talisker will drop dead. Well, it's like putting a carbon and making the talisker a carbon. Yeah, anyway, these are just extensions of human folly, Sir Richard. And we're used to tons of human folly.